Please remain standing for the reading of Scripture.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. And if you'd like to follow in your pew Bibles, it is on page 1676. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be ever more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Here ends the scripture reading. This is God's holy word. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Lois, for reading God's word for us this morning. Joe, thank you for helping to lead us in worship. Choir, as always, thank you for leading us in worship this morning. Unfortunately, the bulletin, and this is probably my mistake, I tend to make administrative errors. Administration is not my strength, so this is probably my mistake, but we're actually going to go from John 15, 1 through 8, not 1 through 6. So I'm going to finish reading 7 and 8. I would encourage you, if you have a Bible at home, to bring that with you. Crack that thing open, dig in there, and become familiar with the word of the Lord as he has provided for it to be preserved and printed over the course of 3,000 years. 3,000 years he has preserved his word. And here it is. It comes down to us in the form still of paper. I would encourage you, if you have a Bible at home, to bring one with you. If you don't have a Bible at home, I would encourage you to grab one on your way out because there's free Bibles in the back. Well, I should say this, Bibles at no cost in the back. The Bible didn't come to us free. It came to us at great cost, incredible cost. Ultimately, the cost of the Father's Son, Jesus, as he laid down his life on the cross. And so I would encourage you to dive in and listen to what God has to say to you, even on a daily basis, as you spend time with him. Allow me to finish reading the rest of John 15 that we're going to be covering here. John picks up in verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." This is also the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. As we are finishing our I Am series here, this is the seventh and final I Am statement of Jesus. You will recall the I Am statements as we move through them. Jesus begins in John 6, where he says, "I am the bread of life." And then in John 8, "I am the light of the world." In John 10, he says, "I am the door of the sheep." And then in John 10 also, he says, "I am the shepherd, the good shepherd of the sheep." And then in John 11, he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And in John 14, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then finally, now in John 15, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now there is a connection between these I am statements. There's a connection between these I am statements. So let me go over these briefly, and if you'd like to talk to me more about these connections after the service, we can do that as well. But the connection between these I am statements is that Jesus, in a holistic way, is communicating to the reader who he is in the fullness of their salvation. Who he is in the fullness of their salvation. Not primarily what their salvation is, but who he is in the fullness of salvation for them. So when he says, I am the bread of life, he's saying, I am your sustenance spiritually. You have no sustenance. You have no health. You have no vitality spiritually apart from me. Just like the body requires bread, so your soul requires him to feed you spiritually. The bread of life. When he says, I am the light of the world, in John 8, he's saying, you are in need of me to be the light for you. You are in need of me to open your eyes to the reality that I am your sustenance, that I am your light, that I am your salvation. You need your eyes to be opened to this. You have to have your eyes open to this. And when I open your eyes to this, you will realize that I am the door for you. I am the way in, I am the way out. And the manner in which I'm going to bring you to myself as the door is I'm going to call you as my good shepherd, as my sheep, as I am your good shepherd. I'm going to call you to myself. And as I call you to myself, I'm going to show you that I'm the one who is the resurrection and the life for you. I'm the one who overcomes death for you. And as I am the one who overcomes death for you, I'm the one who's going to lead you to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as I am the one who leads you to the Father, I'm going to give you life with me through the Spirit in and with the Father as the true vine who gives life to the branches. And this is what it looks like to live out this new life that I've given you. Did you guys catch all that? John is not accidental in the way in which he's recording these. It's not just the words of Scripture that are inspired, it's the order of the account. The order of the account. These I am statements are painting a large, holistic picture of what salvation is for us in Christ. Yeah? Did you guys catch that? If you didn't catch that, you can come talk to me afterwards. Somebody is saying, can you create a document for this? Yes, I could probably create a document for it. It might take a week or so. We're in Jesus' I am statements. This is the very last I am statement. These I am statements are tied back to the name of the Lord in the Old Testament. This is the Hebrew form of the name of the Lord in the Old Testament as he appears to Moses in Exodus 3. It's Yahweh. The Greek Old Testament picks up this name, especially in Exodus 3, and it records his name as being ego eimi, I am. And so when Jesus begins speaking to the Jews in the New Testament, and he looks at them and he says, ego eimi, I am, immediately their minds go back to Exodus 3. That this one who appeared to Moses in the burning bush saying, I am the one who saves my people, they realize, oh, he's claiming to be that God, the God who's always saved us, the God who's always been faithful, who's standing right here in front of us. And so Jesus wants to help his audience understand who he is for the sake of their salvation. And so here we are, we drop into John 15, and I'm going to have to hurry along this morning. The big idea in this set of verses here is this, that a Christian, number one, is united to Jesus, is bearing fruit, and is glorifying the Father. That's what a Christian is. What Jesus wants to explain to us in these verses is what it looks like to be a Christian. What it looks like to be a Christian. Now, this brings up the question, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? Have you ever asked that question? What is a Christian? I-M-S-E, I-M-S-E-H, I-M-S-E-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Have you ever heard that song before? Right? N-I-F-C-H-R-I-S-T-M-I-H-A-R-T. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? Right? There's a lot of answers to this question, but Jesus is interested in answering the question also in John 15. What is a Christian? Some answers might be a Christian is a good moral person. Good moral person. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who believes in God, someone who's just not an atheist or an anti-theist. A Christian is someone who loves their neighbor. A Christian is a religious person, an Americanized religious person, who grew up in an Americanized religious framework. That's a Christian. A Christian is someone who holds to a certain moral standard of behavior. Right? That's not a Christian thing to do. This is a Christian thing to do. We want to do things in a Christian way. Sometimes people think being a Christian is something that you're born into, right? This is just how I was raised. That means I'm a Christian. I was born into this. Or I just grew up in this way. There's a lot of different answers that people have to what is a Christian. The question is, what does Jesus say about being a Christian? What does Jesus say about being a Christian? Because in the order of these things, these I am statements, we come to the point where Jesus is going to tell them, after everything that I've done and who I am for you, these are the implications of what it means to know me. This is what it means to know me in all of these ways, as the bread, as the light, as the door, as the shepherd, as the resurrection of life, as the way to the Father. This is what it now means for you to know me in that way. This is what it means for you to live in this manner, to exist in this manner. So let's jump in. I do need to hurry along this morning. Jesus, in this final I am statement, begins talking to his disciples, and he's speaking to them, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, as we go through the outline, if you're making notes today or making notes in your Bible, we're going to go back and forth between what it means to be united to Jesus, producing fruit, and glorifying the Father. Those are just going to be all throughout this passage, okay? They're not going to come in sequential order. John tends to be circular in his thinking and in his writing, and so we're going to pick up the idea, we're going to drop it, pick up the idea, drop it. We're just going to kind of run through these. They kind of roll through, okay? So just stick with me as we go through these. So Jesus, speaking to the disciples here, they've just left the upper room where Jesus has shared the Last Supper with them. And now they're making their way up to the Mount of Olives, so they go down through the valley, and they're going up through the other side of the valley, the Kidron Valley, to the Mount of Olives. And as they're going back up the other side to the Mount of Olives, I should have had a map here, that would have been helpful. As they go up the other side into the Mount of Olives, there's vineyards all over the place. So this would have been normal, everyday language for them. So he stops at a vineyard, so to speak, and he says, I want to explain to you, my disciples, what it means to live in me. It's like this vine, this grapevine. And I'm the vine, and you are the branches. You're the branches. I'm the vine who gives you life. I'm the one who supports your existence. I am the vine who gives you everything that you need to live and persist and to bear fruit. I am your very source of life in all things, at all times, and in every way. I am the vine. And you, my disciples, are like branches. You're the branches. Now, the word branches here are the little tender tendrils, the little guys that spurt off of the vine, who are tender and soft and malleable, and they're very fragile. Jesus is saying, I am the vine, and you're this little branch here, just this little branch. And he says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser is someone who would come along and trim wood that didn't belong to the vine, would clear things out that were impeding the vine and the branches from growing, would cut away things that were getting in the way of the vine and the branches being healthy. There's a rhododendron next to our house over here. This last spring, Trish and I got in there, and we looked in there, and there was dead wood everywhere in there, choking out the life of that rhododendron. And so we got in there, and we started doing some trimming. And boy, did we trim. And we trimmed, and we trimmed, and we trimmed some more. And then just for good measure, we trimmed a little bit more. And there was a pile of just dead stuff on the ground. Now, as it went through the summer, we started to look at this rhododendron, and it burst into life. It was so happy with us. It was thrilled. If the rhododendron could have smiled, it would be smiling at us, saying, thank you for removing this dead stuff. Jesus is saying here, I am the true vine. I am the one who gives you true life. I am the one who sustains you. I am the one who gives you all things that you need. And my Father is the vine dresser. Now, the Father is the vine dresser does a couple things. The Father is the vine dresser does, number one, every branch that doesn't belong to Jesus, every branch that doesn't belong to Jesus, he removes. He removes. We'll pick this up in verse 6 again. He removes that branch. But also every branch that does bear fruit, in verse 2, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. He cuts back. He trims back. Have you guys ever pruned a plant? Now, when you're cutting out dead wood from a plant, the plant is happy about that. When you're pruning the plant is not necessarily happy about that. That's not necessarily a pleasant process for the plant. And yet Jesus is saying here, my Father is the one who prunes those who are his branches. He prunes them. Why does he prune them? He prunes them that they may bear more fruit, so that they may produce fruit in their life. He cuts things back. He cuts things away. He removes things out of their life. He pulls things out of their life. He refines them. He brings things, takes things out of their life that keep them from being fruitful for him. He cuts those things away so that they may truly enjoy their union with the vine as healthy branches. He cuts things out. Anything that would get in the way of relationship with him and fully enjoying what it means to be united to Jesus, the Father wants to cut out of your life. If you have things in your life that interfere with your relationship with Christ, he is very interested in removing those things so that you might fully enjoy, more readily enjoy your relationship with Christ. He wants to cut things out. He wants to prune you. He wants to purify you. The idea here, the word here, is the same word that we get in English, catharsis. What does it mean for something to be cathartic? Cleansing, purifying. desires to cleanse and purify. Jesus says here in verse 3, he says, already you are clean because the word that I have spoken to you. What he's saying here is that you are already purified because of the word I've spoken to you. Now, if you have a relationship with Jesus today, there's a significant thing that has happened in your life. Number one, you have heard the word of Christ. If you have a relationship with Jesus today, you have heard him through the gospel. You have heard him through his word. And in hearing him through his word, he has brought to you the magnitude, whether you're little or big, the magnitude of what it means for him to be your Savior, that for him to die on the cross for your sins, for him to be buried on your behalf, and to be resurrected so that you might have life in him. The way in which he has brought you to himself and purified you for all eternity in him is through his word, through the word of the gospel. Jesus is saying here, already you are clean because the word I have spoken to you. And then his encouragement to them is this, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, this language in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, what he's saying is, I am encouraging you, I am commanding you, I am exhorting you to continue to walk with me through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I am present in you. I am already present in you. I have already united myself to you. I have already made myself available to you. I have already been bound to you through the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you were to read 20 verses up into John 14 and 20 verses down into John 15, you would realize very quickly how integrated, how integral, how significant the presence of the Holy Spirit is in this passage. This is all stuff that the Spirit of God does. So when Jesus is saying, abide in me and I in you, he's telling them, I desire, my longing is that you would walk with me in dependence upon me through the Holy Spirit, just as a little tendril, a little branch, is dependent on the vine. That little branch, as it's connected to the vine, shares the life of the vine, shares the health of the vine, shares the future of the vine, shares the joy of the vine, shares everything that it is to be united to the vine. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and he's saying, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, I desire that you would continue to walk with me. Abide in me. Remain in me. Enjoy me. Chase after me as you find me delightful. As you find me wonderful. As I draw your heart to me, continue to walk with me. Here's John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is saying here that your capacity as a Christian, what it means to be a Christian, is that number one, you realize what it is for him to be your Savior and your Lord. You've also realized through the presence of the Holy Spirit what it means to be dependent on him for your life, for your eternal life, for your spiritual life. And as you walk in that dependence on him, as you live in that dependence on him, as you acknowledge that dependence on him, he begins to fill you with the Holy Spirit who's already present in you, that you might bear fruit, that you might live a fruitful Christian life from the inside out. It's not like walking around and taking masking tape or scotch tape and taping grapes onto a vine somewhere and saying, see, it's a grape plant. What Jesus is saying here is, as a Christian, your fruit bearing, the fruit of your life in Christ, is an internal reality, not an external reality. It's an inside-out reality, not an outside-in reality. Jesus desires to work the fruit of his life in you as you abide in him. The word abide here is meno, to remain, to stay, to rest, to continue in. He desires that you would remain in him. Now, I do need to clarify something. For those who know Christ and who have been united to Jesus by faith through the presence of the Holy Spirit, for those who know Christ in that way, he will continue to remain in you. He will remain faithful to you. He will remain kind to you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. There is nothing, Romans 8, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Satan cannot take you away from Jesus. Your own flesh cannot remove you from Jesus. There is nothing in all creation that can take you out of that relationship with him. He is in you. He has united himself to you. And in him uniting himself to you and pouring out his Holy Spirit in you, uniting himself to you through the Holy Spirit, you begin to respond to him and say, yes, I want to be with him. The reason why you remain in him is because he remains in you. Does that make sense? You don't remain in him by your own efforts. You don't remain in him by your own stuff, by your own efforts or good works or earning it somehow. You remain in him as a response, as the fruit of him being in you. He's the one who does the work. D.A. Carson, speaking of this idea of the branch getting its life from the vine, says this: no branch has life in itself. It is utterly dependent for life and fruitfulness on the vine to which it is attached. The living branch is thus truly in the vine, and the life of the vine is truly in the branch. They are united together. Do you realize that when you came to know Jesus, when you heard the gospel, and he opened your eyes, I am the light of the world, he showed you that he is the door, he called you as his good shepherd, he showed you that he is the resurrection and the life for you, that he showed you the way to the Father, to have relationship and union with the Father? Do you realize that when he did that work in you, he united himself to you to share his divine life with you? That's salvation, folks. By grace, through faith. That's salvation. To know him in that way. Craig Keener says this, John's line in 5:5 neatly summarizes a good bit of Johannine theology or thought. New birth, new life, and religion genuinely pleasing to God all must come from above, from the Spirit, from Jesus, who is from above. The best of human effort apart from God's own enablement is worthless. It's worthless. This is what Jesus says in John 6. If anyone does not abide in me, this person who doesn't belong to Jesus, this person has no attachment to Jesus, this person who is not united to Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. This is a very unpopular view, even within Christianity these days, especially certain elements of Christianity. And that is this, that there are people who will spend an eternity separated from Christ. There are people who will spend an eternity separated from Him. And you know some of them. Jesus says hard things, but they're true things. They're hard, but they're true. Well, the unfortunate reality is not everybody, when they hear the gospel, responds to Jesus in such a way that the Spirit of God draws their hearts and they are united to Him by faith, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and eternal life in Him, as they're united to the One who is eternal life. Not everybody responds to Him affirmatively. Some people reject Him. Many people reject Him. And as He draws near to them to save them, and they reject Him, they are left without the salvation by which no man is saved. No man is saved. And so Jesus says here that those who do not abide in Him are thrown like a branch and they wither. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Now He says this in verse 7, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you. See how important the Word of God is there again? Begins with the Word of God. Already you are clean by the Word that I have spoken to you. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you. The very written, spoken words of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, as you listen to Him through the Word, if His Word finds its home within you and you say yea and amen to Him, as you read His Word, He is saying, I'm abiding in you and you will bear much fruit. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It'll be done for you. The first thing that we ask for, is that we would be dependent on Jesus. When you come to a relationship with Jesus, one of the first things that you realize you need to ask for is, Lord, help me to depend on You. Help me to depend on You. And Lord, I pray that You would work in and through me and help me to just walk with You in union and communion and join You in fellowship, recognizing the wonder and the majesty and the beauty, Father, of who Your Son Jesus is. I just want to walk with You and enjoy You. And Jesus says that as you do this, ask anything that you want, because He's going to change the desires of your heart. He's going to give you the right desires. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, this doesn't mean that you ask for a Porsche and He gives you a Porsche, right? This doesn't necessarily mean that you ask for healing and He gives you healing. What this is saying is that as you walk with the Lord, and as the Father prunes you, as you become more and more like Jesus, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, as He conforms you to His image, as He makes you more like Him, and you ask Him for things, the things that you ask for begin to look more like Jesus' heart. A great measure of our maturity in Christ is our prayer life. What we ask for. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. One of the things that we should be asking for from Him is that He would fill us with His Holy Spirit. And as He fills us with His Holy Spirit, that we would begin to, according to Galatians 5, walk by the Spirit, so that the fruit of the Spirit of God would be evident in our lives. What's the fruit of the Spirit of God? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of Jess, by the way. This is not the fruit of Joe. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Right? I'll pick on Joe because I know Joe. That Joe or this Joe. This is dependent life on the Holy Spirit. Dependent life on the Holy Spirit. These are the things that we should be praying for, first and foremost. Lord Jesus, be glorified in my heart and my mind that I might see how wonderful you are. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might walk with you and enjoy you, and that I might begin to live out the fruit of the Spirit as you produce these things in me. Not as I try to do a Jess reclamation plan, or how can I make Jess better, or how can I, let's flip that Jess and make him a little bit better. The Christian life is not about self-improvement. The Christian life is about dependence on the Lord, who is the vine as we are the branches, as he works in and through our hearts to make us more like him. That's the Christian life. In fellowship with the Father through the Spirit. And as you do that, you abide in him. His word abides in you. And you ask, and it will be done for you. Now, what is the finishing moment of all of this? Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As a Christian, you are one who glorifies your Heavenly Father. You are one who glorifies your Heavenly Father as you walk in dependence on the Holy Spirit, being united to Jesus, as he bears fruit in your life that brings a good opinion of who God is. And as you bring a good opinion of who God is, the Father is glorified. Jesus is glorified as you walk with him. The chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means that you desire to glorify your Heavenly Father because you so enjoy his Son Jesus, and that you're bearing fruit through the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is what it means to be a Christian. Let's pray.